This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey, Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you stop it.
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack, 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 quack. No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. My job. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back with one of my favorite episodes of the year. It is Halloween. This episode is dropping on Halloween, so it is time for our annual horror movie. This will be our fifth installment. Don't want to waste time because we usually go long on this. So we had Duck Hunter 1. That's where we created McKill, just called Duck Hunter. At a campground, we had Duck Hunter 2.
Hold on. Tell the people who McKill is.
Oh, McKill is, you know, our horror slasher, Jason-y type villain that grew out of McGill's. I don't remember the full backstory, but it had something to do with Riley. You learn about it in McKill in Duck Hunter 2, where Riley comes in and ends up actually sacrificing himself at the end. Spoiler alert. And then we had Duck Hunter 3D 2 years ago, and that sent the remaining ducks to space. And they were playing an exhibition against Iceland. McKill snuck on the spaceship, came through. The end of that ended up squaring up with McKill and Fulton squaring up as the ice was splitting due to these bombs. And that was important for Duck Hunter 4 or Duck Hunter Back 4 More, a.k.a. Duck Hunter Quack to the Future. There's been some debate on which one was better. I think we like Back 4 More. The Quack lights like Quack to the Future. I think we can do both.
I think Quack to the Future is the good one to use.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Duck Hunter 4, Quack to the Future. That one started with, this is going to be tough to do in like a minute explanation, but that one started with Fulton and McKill falling into that ice split, and that opened an interdimensional portal slash timeline issue where 17-year-old Fulton Reed, or what, however, 90s Fulton Reed, ended up going to 2020. Alongside McKill, and young Fulton had to find old Fulton with the help of the Game Changers kids to notify people about McKill and then end up murdering him at the end. But we had a couple people die, but you know, we essentially got all of our ducks that we killed back, because in the 2020 timeline, McKill was not a thing until, you know, the interdimensional portal happened. So at the end of Duck Hunter 4, Quack to the Future, Riley, again, Riley is alive this time because it's 2020 timeline. He finds dead McKill's mask, ends up putting it on. And then there's also McGill, if he had not turned into McKill. So 2020 McGill sort of turned on, he didn't really turn on the ducks, but he had a chance to kill McKill, his former, I guess, his same self in a different timeline, and he ended up not doing it. And then we theorized that Duck Hunter 5 would include them. It would be called either McKill's with the S being a 5, or, and this was a great Quacklight suggestion, Duck Hunter 5, the Dying V. Before we really get into it, one sort of thing to note. So we killed Connie. We've killed Connie twice, and we've killed Peter Mark twice. Or I'm sorry, we've killed Carp twice. So those are the only two 2020 ducks that are still not around. Peter Mark ends up dying 2020, but 97 Peter Mark did not go back alongside the rest of the ducks. He ended up getting adopted by 2020 Fulton. So he's still around. And then, and this was really prescient. This was before we knew Bombay was leaving Game Changers, but 97 Bombay gets killed, and 2020 Bombay ends up going back with the 90s kids back to their timeline as sort of a do-over. So we are without Bombay in the 2020 timeline. If that made sense to anybody, gold star to you.
I just want to preface this episode with Tommy and Mike today both text me or in our group chat that they had listened to the previous episode, at least the last one that we did last year, and you know did their research. I did none of that, so a lot of that recap was a surprise to me because I didn't quite remember a lot of the chaos there, but it's jogging a few memories here. So thank you for that recap.
Thank you.
As I was listening to last year's version earlier today, I was like, oh, we should have done this differently. We should have done that differently. And so it goes to show you that we actually don't do a ton of research. This is just kind of us having some fun with it. But for the first time ever, I do have a bit of a script ready.
Copious.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a script?
Well, it's more of an outline. A couple one-liners I do have written down.
Okay, this is going to be good. Yeah, I would recommend going back and listening to at least Duck Hunter 4, Quack to the Future, because I was listening back. I came up with it a year ago. I was riveted. I thought like that was our best sort of storyline and tying everything together. We somehow found our way back in the end, which was amazing. So go back and listen to that if the recap didn't make sense to you, and then pause it right now and then come back to here, because again, Tommy has notes. So this is going to be good, and I'm going to start it off. Let's start it off with you, Tommy.
All right. So what's going to happen is we're going to assume this is a nice tight 90-minute horror movie, you know, with, you know, a good 10 minutes of credits, so 80 minutes long. And so I'm essentially going to be giving the first half of the movie to Mike and Kevin. And what they're going to do is they're going to help us end the movie. And so I'm just going to start. And if you guys have questions, like raise your hand or something. I'm hoping that at least some stuff will be revealed. And some of these notes are a little bit more detailed than others. And some of them are better than others. But that's why we're here to workshop this. All right. So movie starts. No credits, nothing like that. External shot of a nice, you know, modest house. You could tell it's kind of like in the suburbs, and we see kind of like a guy in his 60s finishing up dinner, puts a hockey game on. You pan around, you see photos of a guy and his daughter, various ages, as an infant, as a you know, teenager, high school graduation, college graduation, and kind of steps in the light, and it's Ted O'Ryan. See some Eden Hall pennants in the back. He's wearing an MIT sweater. He sits down, opens up a beer. What kind of beer do you think he's drinking, Kevin?
I don't know enough about like Minnesota beer. Mike, any don't they have a special kind of like Bud Light or Budweiser? Or no, it's Miller Light. I think
maybe.
I don't know. I have a friend that used to drink it.
Well, what's a style of beer he's drinking? Light beer, heavy?
Light beer.
Okay. Domestic. He's, you know, he's frugal and he doesn't care. And he's in a Pabst.
Yeah. He's gone. Maybe Labatt's. That's a big thing. Yeah. Like a Canadian. All right.
Drinking Labatt's. So he starts watching the game. He hears something in the other room. He goes, pokes his head in, shrugs, comes back, zooming on his face. And he looks confused. Starts to pan out, and we get an over the shoulder shot. There's someone else in the house looking at him. The person, Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah. In this timeline, is his daughter still paralyzed? Like, do we know that?
You can tell she's in a wheelchair in the photos.
Okay.
Um, And also in this establishing shot, you've seen things like, it's clear that this is like 2022. Mm-hmm. And this is Ted O'Ryan. He's coached Eden Hall, whatever. He's got pennants. He's got his NHL jersey. It says O'Ryan on it, that kind of thing. He looks at someone and at first he's a little startled, but then he kind of has a little bit of recognition. And this person, we don't see their face or anything. He flips them something. It's like the size of like a pin, like a circle or whatever. He catches it, looks at it. He's like, I don't understand.
Wait, hang on. And he's just cool with this person being in a set?
You know, Kevin, sometimes they don't explain all of the plot in the first 90 seconds of a movie.
All right. Fine,
okay.
But he is cool with it. He's not like nervous about it or anything.
He's not like, scared.
Like I said, he appears to recognize the person.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Basically, I'm trying to read my own handwriting here. He looks at him. He goes, what do you want? And essentially, the guy, you zoom back out. So you're outside. All you hear is the hockey game. And you see Ted O'Ryan's face. And he's just kind of like incredulous at first. Like, what are you talking about? Then he's angry at him. And then he's scared. Goes back in, over the shoulder shot. O'Ryan's still scared. Goes, I never lost anything with the Ducks. Like, that's not what I'm about. You need to leave. And then you hear the voice from this character says, so be it. And then you hear heavy footsteps. Second person behind O'Ryan, you see the face, and it's the McKill mask.
Mm.
Reaches over, slits his throat.
Oh, Ted.
What's up?
he grabs his neck, whatever, you know, kind of looks up. The person looks down at him, flips up his mask. O'Ryan has another kind of shock look of recognition. And he clearly, he dies, hand falls open, whatever, with the pin. And on the pin, it says 1997 Hendrix Moon Classic.
Mm.
Fade to Duck Hunter, V right below it, Dying V comes up. So Duck Hunter, Dying V is okay. The name of this. Okay.
Do we, does the audience see this person's face or no?
No. Okay. The only person they can identify is O'Ryan. And so we know there's at least two people in that house, not O'Ryan, one of whom was wearing a McKill mask and he lifted up. Okay.
So, quick, can I just make a quick note on that?
Yes.
That O'Ryan really leaned into the whole make him make the first move. up there.
He was trying to play two-way home defender.
Two-way hockey, yeah.
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 I like it.
Fade to black, you know.
All right. Dying V, yeah. Cool graphic. Okay.
And so
this is going to be a long pod, by the way, if we're going scene by scene.
That was like a good setter up. It goes off the rails quickly.
Okay. All right.
So now we go to summer camp. It's very clearly summer camp with Coach Cole, whatever. It's the Game Changers camp. So that's where we are. And so now we've established, okay, we are in 2022 universe with the Game Changers. We're not back in like the 97 moon landing. So it's like, okay, but we got that moon pendant. What's the deal here? Coach Cole is on the phone. He looks distraught. And basically he's told that, hey, Ted O'Ryan was found dead. And turns out Ted O'Ryan and Coach Cole, they knew each other. They played with each other a little bit. And so Alex is there and she's like, hey, what's wrong? You know, you look like you saw a ghost or something like that. And he's like, hey, I just got this terrible news. You know, my old, friend, mentor, whatever. I'm not really sure what the age difference might be. I guess O'Ryan would be older, but he's dead. And it's like, okay, well, you look, you know, really fucked up. So I'm going to take you to this funeral. Funeral's this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so at camp, they have a little bit of a break. You know, a couple of little camp hijinks where they introduce the Game Changers again. I'm assuming you know that they're all there. And then we're at the funeral, okay? And so Alex and Cole are at the funeral. And we also see grown-up Fulton with little Peter Mark. Because remember, Peter Mark is now in this Game Changers universe as a kid. And he was adopted by Fulton. Fulton's basically like, hey, you know, whatever. We need to figure out what I'm going to do with this kid this summer. You know, I don't want him hanging around. And so basically he ends up, you know, talking to Cole and Alex and Peter Mark is going to be sent to the camp. Okay.
Can you clarify something for me real quick? Does Peter Mark realize it's Fulton that has adopted him?
Yes. He knows that it's old Fulton.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's just kind of like he calls him like Uncle Fulton or some shit. I don't know. let's see. Or Uncle Bash Bro, Uncle Bro, maybe. And so you kind of look at it at the funeral. You also see Orion's daughter, who I guess is kind of like in her late 30s. So Fulton's age, essentially. And, you know, she's very well put together, looks like a professional. She's in her wheelchair. Think kind of like a Barbara Gordon Batgirl-esque, you know, clearly like she's bright. And then we find out that she is a scientist at who like studied at MIT and does research there. Orion's daughter, and I looked up, and I guess we never got a name for Orion's daughter. And so I hypothesize that she goes by Teddy because Ted Orion was not good at naming people. And so they just called her like Ted Jr. because he wanted a boy. And so they call her Teddy.
I like it.
Okay. Kevin, you don't like that?
I think it's weird, but okay.
And it's very clear, like they have a great relationship. And, you know, she's like, you know, I went to the crime scene. Something wasn't right about that. You know, they said it was like a home break-in. But I found some like very, very weird things because there's like particles left over from this moon pendant, you know, because, you know, the moon's got radiation, shit like that. And Fulton, who of course is aware of everything that happened, the older Fulton, even though he was not on the moon or anything like that, he's aware. He's very like, you know, kind of standoffish about it. And it's clear that he, you know, he finds her attractive. So she plays into that. And essentially now we're going to have two paths. We're going to have going to camp with the Game Changers, and we're going to have Fulton and Teddy Orion looking like, essentially Teddy is trying to figure out what happened to her dad. Okay. And so in the scene that I think Kevin will appreciate, she gets Fulton like rip roaring drunk, drinks him under the table, whatever. And he essentially says, this is what happened. And so she's like, okay, I knew there was something crazy going on. And so essentially we have her and Fulton trying to figure out what happened to her dad. And now we've got Game Changers camp. And so these are concurrent, but I'm going to go more into the camp right now. And so meanwhile, Peter has gone up and joined the Ducks. Okay. And so the question is like, what version are we joining? And, you know, I kind of say that he's joining the Ducks team that's being coached by Alex. We know Evan is on the other team. And so that's kind of where they're interjecting. And so Peter Mark is essentially on the Ducks, the Don't Bothers, whatever. One last scene from the funeral. Coach T is there.
Yes.
Okay. And so Coach T is there and he looks, you know, slick back hair, looking good, looking handsome, whatever. He sees Coach Cole and Coach T is pissed because Coach like Cole, like, hey, like my spot was stolen by those fake Ducks. And he's basically
at the funeral?
Yes, at the funeral because he has no class. And so Coach T says honestly to Coach Cole, it's like, you know, I'll get mine eventually. Maybe you'll get yours too. Mm. And then Alex walks by and, you know, Coach T is into moms. He looks at her kind of like, maybe she'll get some too. Okay.
Nice. Now, good joke. There you go. At a funeral.
Yeah, exactly. Very classy.
Does he do some hip thrusting? Some maybe. Wedding Crasher style?
We'll film that scene and then we can cut it at the end. and so back to camp or whatever. Jackie is there, one of the assistant coaches. She says, hey, too many distractions right now. We need to stop everyone playing on their phones all the time. They need to focus on hockey. All right, so we're just going to cut the Wi-Fi to the entire camp. No more Wi-Fi. Except who's their nerdy coach? He looks like Jason Schwartzman.
Or Toby.
Toby. And Toby's like, well, how am I supposed to do my daily crossword? And she goes, we still have the Sunday Times, you know, subscription. You can do your crossword every Sunday. He's like, okay, that's the hardest one anyway. Saving print journalism, etc. And then here I've got way too many notes just kind of down here. And also there is another scene in the funeral where Coach T recognizes like Peter Mark in some capacity. He's like, I know that kid. But anywho, so weird shit starts to happen at camp. You know, it's like, I went to, you know, go take my shower. My pads are missing, things like that. Starting to hear like whispers in the woods, and Nick's like, yeah, I just hear all this barking in the woods. I don't know what it is. And it's like, okay, whatever. A little bit of time goes by, weird shit's happening. And then Sunday rolls around. Hey, we got our off day. And nerd guy's reading the Sunday Times. And Nick comes in. He's like, hey, I want to help you with the crossword puzzle. Looks at it and sees, hey, do you see this article? And Wolf, the dentist Stanson, is missing. He's like, former NHL player, Iceland hockey coach, missing.
I see where this is going.
you see a little bit of it and it's like, okay, that's really weird. Hope he's okay, you know. Basically, what happens next is that you kind of get some classic horror, like, oh, what was that noise? Blah, blah, blah. And basically, kind of out of nowhere, Nick and Rich Eisen are like kind of doing their little podcast thing. McKill shows up.
Mm.
Guy with McKill mask. Kills Rich Eisen.
Rich.
Wow.
Okay? R.I.P.
We gotta have that. Gotta have that kill death. Nick escapes. Runs off. Says like, oh my God, like it was fucking crazy. And he probably didn't say that, but like Rich Eisen is dead. And he's trying to explain.
Do people believe him?
They're just like, what are you talking about? You know? And then McKill shows up and is essentially about to get him. But Gunnar Stahl then shows up, fights off McKill, and essentially is like, hey guys, like some crazy shit's going on here. Okay. And so they run back to the dorms. Sam, Coob, and Tegan Burns' character.
Maya,
sorry. They're missing. And they're just like, okay, we don't know where they are. But you know, Sammy always said he likes to prowl at night, you know? And so those three are essentially wandering around stupidly, horror movie. And McKill shows up. There's a fight. Eventually, Sam sacrifices himself.
Hmm.
Sam is killed. Coob, Maya, they all reconvene. They're just like, okay, this shit's crazy. And remember, there's no Wi-Fi. You know, their phones have been getting stolen, things like that. And so Ducks rally eventually, and they're able to kind of find Alex and Cole. Cole is very distraught because they're telling him what's going on. Alex is like, no, you guys are crazy. Like, Sam's not dead. This is like just a crazy prank. And Cole says, no, I think there's something going on here, because a month ago, Coach Riley showed up at my door trying to get me to essentially uninvite the Ducks from this camp. And said, like, you need to like disassociate with the Ducks, otherwise something bad might happen. I was like, whatever, what the fuck? And then Alex said, you knew about this? This is crazy. Then all of a sudden,
I like how one of the we've already gotten like 15 things of dialogue of people saying this is crazy.
It's classic, you know, we can work that out. I didn't write exactly every line of Alex's real chipper, you know, monologue where she has all these pop culture references. We can do that. What happens then is multiple McKills descend on this room. There's kind of like a cool action fight and Alex is kidnapped. Okay. And I kind of wrote down here, another duck goes by the McKills. They kidnap Alex.
Okay. How many multiples of McKills?
We're not really sure. We think there might be three of them. Okay.
Okay.
And Alex is kidnapped, and I think another duck goes down. Maybe Evan is hurt trying to like rescue his mom. Okay. Maybe we don't kill one right then, but we do know that Sam's dead. And so we go into this room. We don't know where it is. Alex is like, she's tied up. And then you see kind of these McKills go forward. They're all wearing the mask, but you can tell they're like different people. The first one takes his mask off, and it's Coach T.
Coach T.
Like, I told you would get yours, whatever. And she's like, why are you doing this? It's like, the Ducks were all I had, and you took that from everything from me. So I'm making you pay. And with a little help from some other people, you and your Ducks have fucked with in the past. Looks at this guy, and he says something in a foreign language that will be obvious. It's in Icelandic. Alex says, what does that mean? He goes, you'll find out. It's the dentist, Wolf, the dentist dancing.
Okay.
And she's like, no, this is impossible, whatever. And then you have a montage of a character again, kind of over the shoulder shot. He tried to get Coach Cole to like join this brigade of duck haters, try to get Orion. Orion's killed. Gets Coach T, gets the dentist. He also gets the Trinidad and Tobago coach. And he also gets the varsity coach. And so, and we see that, and then they all take their masks off. And so you've got varsity coach, Coach T, dentist, and Trinidad and Tobago. But there's the ringleader takes his mask off. And it's Riley, just like we all expected. It's like, I needed to get my revenge. And she goes, like, I can't believe you organized this. And he goes, I didn't organize all this. And then in walks in one more McKill, takes his mask off. It's Old Bombay.
Oh, I thought it was going to be McGill. Like, what is McGill doing at this point? Because we set up that 2020 McGill was, you know, out, and he had sort of turned on the ducks. Does he play a factor here?
And so basically it's Bombay gives a monologue. And so now we're like a good 45, 50 minutes into the movie. It's like, you know, I went crazy when I lost the ducks, when you took them from me, Alex, whatever. I knew you were taking them from me to this camp away from me, whatever. And I only went back to the moon, whatever, to get my revenge on the old ducks. But I knew I'd forgotten someone. And so I became obsessed with getting back here to kill Peter Mark. Mm. And so it cuts to like Peter Mark just like, ooh, you know. And so he still plays that. And basically what we need is, so that's kind of where we are right now. And so okay. I think, remember, we've got Fulton and Teddy O'Ryan. Somehow they figure out like what happened. Someone came back from the moon, like from that old alternate reality, whatever. And now you have the game changer. So now Fulton and Teddy O'Ryan, I was like, okay, we're going to need some help. And so they duck call the old ducks, and that's where I kind of leave it. So we need to know which old ducks are there. Like, is Charlie going to be coming with them? Is Guy, is he like living on the shore by himself because they thought he had killed Connie or whatever? And, you know, what happens now that it's revealed that Bombay was getting all these old coaches together to get their revenge on the ducks?
How many old ducks do we have still available at this moment?
So remember that this is 2022. And so I think with the exception of Carp and Old Peter, all the old ducks are available. And Connie. And so all the old ducks are available except for those three.
All right. Well, my first thought would be the first call is to Portman, who's like gone completely off grid and is like, has like a weapons surplus, you know, store or something like that.
He's like, oh, I can outfit you guys with some real yeah. cool gadgets.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, I think he's the first call, or maybe they'll yeah. ask if they gather them all or whatever.
And the one other kind of scene setter that, basically whenever Peter Mark had gotten to the camp, Evan was showing him around. He's like, oh yeah, this is like the mess hall. Those are the barracks, whatever. That's the kennel. I don't know why it's called that. Like Nick just says he always hears barking there. And then it turns out that, Evan's just very stupid and Nick is kind of cute. Nick was like, I didn't say barking. I said Bjorking. That's where I always hear people speaking in that language Bjork speaks. And it turns out they're like on campus. So that's how they end up finding where Alex is being held, because they hear like the Icelandic, you know, uh-huh. yelling from Stanson. So the question is basically Gunnarstall, is he a double agent or is he a good guy? And does he help like the ducks, or is he kind of like helping Stanson and his old varsity coach?
What reason do they have to keep Alex alive? Like, is yeah. there something they're waiting for? Are they trying to draw people in? How are we keeping Alex alive when they could just, you know, kill her and have their revenge?
Because Bombay wants her to admit, you were never the coach of the ducks, admit it or whatever. You were terrible. She's like, fine, I never coach. It was all you. You were the one who did it. And then it's like, good. And he goes to kill her. And then it's like, wait, well, she never coached the ducks. Like, what do we have against her? And they're just like, huh? And then that's when they break in.
Yeah. I feel like that could be, they could strategize this and be like, okay, if we don't kill her, you know, we could have her send messages or something and draw in whoever, Evan, who, as we've established, the game changers know the old ducks. So,
and also, remember that Fulton and Teddy O'Ryan, they were doing like all of this while the camp is being attacked. Mm-hmm. And so they're rounding up the ducks essentially before Alex is kidnapped. So that's why they're able to essentially make it there on time to, you know, rescue Alex at the last second.
Okay. And does McGill play a factor? Does 2022 McGill play any sort of factor here? Or do we explain him away somehow?
I think my biggest question with that is why are they in McGill or McKill masks? If
because Riley, because like remember Riley picked up the McKill mask at the end of Quack to the Future, and he's like, because we explain it, Riley created McKill in our Duck Hunter 2, and now Riley again is essentially masterminding these McKills. So Riley has kind of been Bombay's like little lackey.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is like, we don't need the original McKill, who is still out there. Cause remember, we got, you know, movies 6, 7, and 8 to make too.
Okay. So he's just, okay.
So ooh, we, or what we could do is like Fulton knows where McKill is being held. And he's like, how do we kill 5 McKills? Maybe getting one will help us out. Terminator 2 style.
Oh, so they go. Like,
we can be like, hey, you hate all these people impersonating you. Help us take them down. And then
kind of a little Silence of the Lambs going on too.
It's like, you and I will, we have shit to settle. But first, you got to take out these other McKills. So maybe that's what he does.
Okay. So just to establish things, our original McKill from the first 4 is dead. But this is the new, this is the 2020 McGill who is turning into the new McKill.
So we are saying that the original McKill is dead. I wasn't sure what after credits. Are we saying that?
That was my impression. Okay, he did? Died, and then we still had Riley, and we had 2020 McGill, who was a cop and was working with the Dutts before, but had a chance to kill McKill. Ended up not doing it because he couldn't kill himself. He felt something, and then he sort of goes away. And that's like kind of the last we see of him.
Well, then we don't need him, Mike. Why do we bring him back up?
Well, that's an open thread. Open thread about, you know, what happened to this other McGill. That, if I was watching this movie, I would want some sort of explanation about that. And maybe it's just Riley.
I agree.
Yeah, maybe you could just have like, you could say like, oh, hero cop disappears. I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe it's Riley just saying, "Oh, I tried to get."
Riley's got him in his lab.
He's like, I figured out what made him tick.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that's good. Okay, yeah. So he's there, but he's sort of like a prisoner in the lab, and then 6, 7, 8, he breaks out or something. But okay, I like that. So he's stored away, and then okay, so we are leaving off, Teddy. And Fulton have rounded up the Ducks.
Yes.
And they have arrived at this camp, right?
And they arrive in a flying V.
And just for clarity's sake, why are they doing this?
Why are they trying to save everyone?
Well, Teddy's trying to...
No. Why are the McKills doing this?
To get revenge, because the Ducks ruined all their lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very clear.
I do like that there's 5 in Duck Hunter 5, Dying V. So
you could definitely have like the Trinidad coach be like, I didn't even dislike him that much. They were nice.
Right.
Like right before he's about to be killed.
I like that. I like, you know, I like them capturing Alex and then maybe coming to Alex in a flying V or.
And they could also be like, we're keeping Alex alive because we want Coach Cole and the rest of the Ducks to come here. He'll lead Peter Mark right to us.
Right. That's my feeling. So I like that. So where we need to continue is the Ducks have arrived at this camp and Peter Mark / the other Game Changers have realized that at least one McKill is there and has murdered Sam. And does Peter Mark and those kids know that these other adults are here? Are they going to join, or is this a sort of two-pronged thing where, you know, the adults don't want to interfere with the kids or something? Or are they
eventually like meet forces, and maybe it's something where the kids rush like the place where they're being held. And right before things about to go real south, you hear like the duck call from Charlie, and all the old Ducks come in, and like you've got Portman with his depot. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to start with the young kids. We need to start with the young kids, and then have the Ducks come in to save them eventually. Okay. So
and this is like the start of like the final sequence, where you've got like 2 10-minute-long battles or whatever, and you think it's over. You think it's over. And so basically, the question for you guys is, how does it end?
Right.
Okay. So one thing that I think would be that we kind of need is one of the McKills to strike out on their own and to satisfy like a personal vendetta against somebody.
Do you think it's Coach T who's like, now I've got you alone, Alex, or something?
Maybe. But they already have Alex. I'm saying like to leave the other McKills to go, I don't know, get revenge on somebody on their own terms, to kind of, you know, eliminate one of the McKills. I think we need like a clean way to do that to begin.
Do you think it's maybe like they're just like, we can't just wait around here for Alex. Like Coach G is like, I'm going to go see if I can take care of Coach Cole right now.
Right. Sure. Or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Would there be any reason to go after Peter Mark? Like specifically him?
Bombay wants to kill Peter Mark.
So maybe it's him that goes out.
Bombay's your big bad. You can't kill him. He's got to be the last one to die.
Yeah. Okay. So he's staying with Alex to try to draw Peter Mark in because he knows.
How about Coach T goes after Ed, although we already kind of got Ed in a little bit.
Well, Coach T goes after Coach Cole.
Yeah.
Peter Mark right to you.
Yeah,
and I'll take care of Coach Cole on the way.
Yeah, you could set up the animosity at the funeral between Coach T and Coach Cole. So Coach,
which I already did.
Yeah, yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Good job, Tommy. Good job. Gold star. Okay, so what is Coach Cole doing? So I'm trying to figure out the exact moment we leave off. So the Fulton and the Old Ducks have arrived. The new Ducks are sort of in a dorm room freaking out. Where's Coach Cole in all of this?
I think Coach Cole is he's like regrouped with the Ducks. Okay. And, you know, maybe he's like gone, like, hey, I'm going to go. Actually, Coach Cole is like, I'm going to go get the rest of the adults. You guys stay here. And Coach Cole's on his own. And that's where he meets Coach T. Coach T looking for vengeance.
Okay. So we have, it's like a one-on-one fight scene there.
Yeah. And do we have any of the other Duck or game changer adults? Do we want them to play a role in this? I think maybe they show up and maybe Coach T, like they help Coach Cole.
Maybe this rumble happens in like the weight room or something.
Yeah.
Like Coach Jackie. Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Cole is like, Coach T has gotten the upper hand in this fight and is about to kill Coach Cole. And then out of nowhere, Coach Jackie comes with like a barbell or something and whacks McKill.
Like it crushes his face with a kettlebell or something.
Right, exactly.
And here's another subplot. This entire time, Marnie has been oblivious to everything that's been going on. And so she comes in after Coach T is dead. And she's just like, oh man, I really should have not, I shouldn't have made that mistake and not invited him.
I like the idea of her never being aware of what's happening. Like she's got her headphones in.
She's just
like
looking at her clipboard.
Yeah, like she's not like she's like walking past these fights. She's walking past dead bodies. Never even sees it.
Yeah, she's stressed.
That's good.
I like that. So Coach T, one McKill is down. So and then Coach Jackie and Coach Cole then join up with the Ducks. And they have to formulate some plan. And while this is happening, I think Fulton and the original Ducks are either trying to find their way or like they're sort of scrambling about this campus looking for something and could get into some hijinks, maybe some close calls with a different McKill. So I guess we have to figure out Evan is hurt. The Game Changers know Alex is captured because Nick saw it or somebody saw it
because they were there. They captured her while they were like kind of in a mini fight.
Okay.
And they're just like, we don't know where she's talking. It's just like, well, where could they be like holding them? And it's like, they hear like a dog barking in the distance and Evan's like, where's that fucking dog? We'll start barking. And then he's like, wait a second. And that's when he understands, like, no, Nick wasn't saying barking. He was saying bjorking. I know where they are.
Right.
And they go to wherever it was.
They go to the kennel. Bjorking. Right. Yes. Right. So they formulate this plan to get into the kennel. And I think even before it happens, it all goes awry. And, you know, the McKills ambush them. Maybe somebody dies here. And it looks like they're all about to be perished.
Yeah, it's basically a trap.
Right. Right, and that's when Fulton and the original Ducks come in.
save the day, and sort of, I don't know what they do to sort of scatter the McKills in some sense. Maybe they have an old pair of gravity boots from D4 or Duck Hunter 4 or something.
Right, Fulton, Peter Mark kept his gravity boots, but he Fulton made him leave them at home. He's like, hey, you can't bring these to camp. And that also might be like the secret. Teddy O'Ryan is able to use them to essentially, like, I figured out how he got back or something like that.
Right. Okay.
I like the idea too of kind of the final scene or the final showdown being Bombay up against Charlie.
Yes.
Oh, so basically, or Charlie being used as some sort of like decoy, because that's Bombay's like weakness is Charlie.
So I think what it is it's, you know, Bombay is about to like kill Peter Mark. He's like, I finally gonna get my revenge. Charlie is like, your revenge is with me. Because remember, and it harkens back to like Bombay and Charlie, you know, kind of having their rift or whatever in season one, and like there being no Charlie. And so he drops Peter Mark. And so then you have a fight between Charlie and Bombay. Mm-hmm. And I think Charlie just outright kills him.
I like it. So we back to this sort of trap. Does anybody die? Do any of our characters die in that trap, or is it just some close calls with some injuries?
I think Guy eventually dies because, you know, he's distraught over the loss of Connie anyway, and we'll find a nice foster home for his children. For a little
bit. Yeah, I think he like sacrifices himself or something to be with Connie.
I kind of feel like all the don't bothers survive. Maybe Jace dies, you know.
I like it.
You know, and Cole will have to live with that for the rest of his life.
Right.
And Cole goes like maniac after that.
Yeah, there's an emotional, yeah.
He goes berserk and he like beats the Trinidad coach to death with a steel drum, maybe. I don't know.
Right. That's good. Okay. So now we're down to three McKills essentially. So Cole goes crazy.
So I like the idea of Stanson and varsity coach looking at Gunnar Stahl and Stanson being like, Gunnar. And then the varsity coach going, Scooter. And he's just like looking at both of them.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of fighting each other. And I think maybe Gunner turns out he's a good guy. And Gunner dies though at the hands of Stanson and the varsity coach. But they're both like mortally wounded. And Averman's able to like take him out or something like that.
Okay. In this scene or in like a final scene later on?
It's essentially in like the buildup, because the final scene is the Charlie and Bombay face off.
Okay.
And it's going to be on like center ice.
Okay. So we have this trap. Guy dies. Jace dies. They use the gravity boots or have one of their bombs that they had on the moon to sort of release this, scatter the McKills. And then obviously we have the original ducks and the regular ducks together. Cole has killed Trinidad and Tobago coach. They've sort of calmed him down and be like, we can't just run in there. You can't do that again. You're going to die. So they have, they're all together now. And now we know this Bjork room, the kennel, is, you know, that's where everything's going. So we know this.
And then everyone, it looks like the little ducks the ducks are going to win, basically. Bombay is able to seize Peter Mark, take him, like he runs off to the main ice, to the main rink, and he's got him at center ice. He's like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to finish it. I don't care if you kill me. Charlie's like, wait, your beef is with me. Bombay throws Peter to the side, and then Charlie and Bombay fight. Or maybe they play what's the three
three bar.
You play three bar for Peter's life.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, okay. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of like there being some sort of battle and like having like Charlie hearing Orion make him make the first move like in his head.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a real fight then.
Okay. I mean, it could have happened in three bar too, but okay. So we get that trap, the original ducks, and everyone's together, and then they bum rush the kennel? Is there traps in the kennel? How do they get into the kennel?
You're doing a little bit too much backtracking. And so the five McKills, the McKill boys, the McKillers, if you will, they've set a trap. And so basically the kids bum rush in there and they think everything is like they can take them. And then they're just like disintegrating beat on. And then all hope looks lost. And that's when the adults show up. Okay.
Okay. So I'm thinking there was like a calm down scene before this new scene, but you're saying this is all sort of a continuation climax.
Basically, you kind of have like these one-off fights, whatever, people are spouting one-liners, and that's, you know, there's like sadness when Jace dies. And also I kind of want to say, like, and this is more for future episodes, Jace doesn't die. Like, he's just like, it looks like he's just like really right. mortally wounded or whatever, but at the end of it, he's okay. He eats some avocado mousse.
He's like is it Stewie? Dewey in Scream.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, stabbed in the chest and he's fine. And he's like, in what he's seemingly dying, whatever, Cole's, and he's like, I'm sorry, I never fixed that glitch in my shot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like when he's being wheeled out, it's like, we'll have to fix that glitch for you or something, whatever. Stupid father son.
Right.
But anywho, okay. So all of those kind of battles that we kind of talked about, because it goes kind of like a yo-yo. It looks like good guys are winning, bad guys are winning, whatever. And then it is center ice is when Bombay grabbed Peter Mark. Then you have the Bombay Charlie fight. Charlie kills Bombay, and so all of the McKills are dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to, and are we saying that our 2020 version of McGill is still kind of just sitting in a jail cell, and he like was able to escape because of like,
yeah,
he stole something from or he basically, I think what happens is whenever Fulton and Teddy O'Ryan are talking to him, they show him like the moon like pennant or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's able to take it, and he's like able to essentially like rub it, and some like moon dust comes off that starts to melt a lock or something, and he looks at the camera. And so setting up
right
our McGill as the new McKill for future iterations.
This is good. I like it. I think I can't think of anything loose right now, but I'm sure other people will.
This movie is a chaotic mess.
Are you kidding?
It's a lot of action. It's a lot of...
There are a lot of players involved in this.
There's actually not that much action. There are some like small fight scenes, and then you have the big fight scene at the end, and then you have the Charlie and Bombay face-off. Because the first 45 minutes, it's kind of like the classic
right
whodunit, jump point. Scares kind of thing. Sam dies, and we could just say he dies off camera kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear all of the establishing dialogue for this, like for the people that are jumping into this as the first movie in the franchise that they're watching, because it would take a lot to explain even a little bit of this movie, which is fun.
I don't think it would be so bad. I mean, I think the funeral scene really sets it up.
Right. Yeah, I think you could do a lot in that funeral scene.
What one just overall general note that I think would definitely need to be workshopped is there's not much like suspense. Like there's not like there's like when Sam gets killed, like it they see it and it happens. Like it's not like, oh, what happened to Sam, and then they open a closet and he's dead in the closet. You know, like there's not much of that.
Oh, I guess what you could do is Sam, Maya, and Coob were off on their walk. Or like Sam's always out in the night. It's like he'll be fine. And then they open, like you said, they open the closet and he's just hanging there.
Yeah.
You know, nice 13-year-old.
Got something like that.
Hanging there, yeah. And there could also be another one. I'm trying to think who else is killed. He's got to like make like a, like you know, not recognizing the killer, but us still not knowing that it's Bombay or whatever.
I also don't think there are enough deaths in this version.
I try not to kill too many of the Game Changers kids because I do want to make sure that we're able to continue this for the next one, which is why I don't want Jace to die.
Like maybe we kill like AJ Lawrence or something in there.
Oh yeah,
like some of the ancillary kids, because there just wasn't enough gore.
Yeah. I mean, you could have like Fulton and Peter also like, hey, look who we found. We found the checkmates, and get in there and just get like torn to shreds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could have a scene where like a whole dorm is taken out, like just a quick one where it's like, shit.
That's true. It's like all the other kids potentially could have like gotten in the crossfire or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I also like maybe like a post-credit scene of Marnie just being like,
Yeah.
Just looking around.
And the entire time when she's like oblivious, she's like, yep, Sector 7 clear, you know, but like there are limbs everywhere.
Yeah, at the end she looks up and it's just bloodshed everywhere and things are burning. Do we want to actually kill all five of these McKills, or is it like, oh, we thought we killed someone, we freed Alex, and then at the end we see like a twitch or something and Riley's still alive?
I think the only kind of nod is McGill, the R2022 McGill.
Okay.
Everyone else is dead. And maybe they end it with like Bombay's funeral.
Mm.
But you see the casket shake or something.
No, it's just like we never actually found the body, you know.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. But I don't know. Bombay was trying to murder them. Would they all go to this funeral? Like,
not all of them go, and it's an unmarked grave.
Okay.
And this is like, finally get closure of this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So Charlie's there with maybe a couple others. It's like a cold, windy day.
Charlie has now adopted the three Connie and Gee kids.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
And little Gordon's got an evil look in his eye.
Oh, even better. That's good. Okay. Yeah, that's where
we'll find out in the next step. And the next is that he's actually Gordon Bombay's kid.
Oh, with Connie? What? Okay. That was a joke.
No.
That was a joke. I think there's some good twists here though.
I do think you can for one of just like in every horror franchise, you get to like 10 or 11 and it's just like, oh, Gordon Bombay was my dad, you know. It's like, oh, this is the illegitimate child of Gordon Bombay and Miss McKay. So we can get that in future iterations. I do think we need to play it off any future Game Changer stuff, which is why I wanted so much stuff to be happening at the camp.
Right.
And it's also back to the roots. Like, you could probably have some lines about the original McKill movie was at was at a camp, and maybe Nick's like, oh, you know, I heard all about this or something from Peter Mark. He's telling about how McKill did his killing in the first one or something.
Yeah, that's good.
And maybe the original camp, I don't know if we ever actually established the name of that camp. Did we?
I think we did. I don't remember what it was
called. I'm sure we called it.
I was going to say it'd be great if we'd called it Epic Lake, E-P-O-C-H, and then it was this is Camp Epic or whatever.
Yeah. I don't remember, but...
The only other potential post-credit scene I was thinking is if you were burying Bombay and no one's there, except you hear a voice, it's just his level of insanity was epic to me. Or not epic, it was just it has inspired me to get back out there. And you zoom out and it's Tony Perkis.
Interesting. Okay.
Have to do that. There's alternate endings. But I think the canon is McGill, it's implied that he's escaping. Mm-hmm. And basically in that, that's really it. Everyone else is presumed dead of all the McKills.
I do like setting up Gordon, Bombay, Jermaine to be it doesn't have to be big, but you see something wrong with him. And as they, you know, fade to black or whatever, and then you're like, oh shit. But he doesn't have to come into play until much later on. So I like that. Yeah, like I said, I think a lot of twists, the whole thing where Bombay is the guy to lift up his mask at the end, that's going to be huge. I feel like the people are going to love it. The theaters are going to gasp. I think, we've added some more gore. I like it.
Yeah, so first 45 minutes are kind of the whodunit, and the last 45 is the gore fest.
All right. Satisfy
Kevin.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin, any other notes before we wrap this one?
No, I feel like there are a lot more loose threads on this one than our previous ones somehow.
None. But, tight 90 minutes.
The more dimensions we add to this, is the more kids get adopted by other people, the more complicated this gets. But
whatever. So dead people: Ted O'Ryan, Rich Eisen, Sam Gee, and then the five coaches: Stanson, Trinidad and Tobago,
Riley, Coach T, and then Varsity and Bombay? So is there six?
Yeah, so Bombay is like he was the ringleader of five McGills.
Right. Okay. So yeah, those are all the dead people. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 semi-main characters. And then again, we have all the other kids at the camp we can just murder left and right. Good times. Let us know what you think in the show or in the Discord at thequacktech.com, at quacktechpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quacktechpod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. 5 stars for 5 years of the Mighty Ducks horror films. And I think we're really, you know, starting to figure something out here. We had a big, Tommy saved us big time last year with opening up the different timelines to get us a bunch of characters back. This one is just crazy. I love it. We're adding new characters. Teddy, I like the addition of Teddy. So again, 5 stars for 5 years.
And Fulton and Teddy are like an item at the end of it, by the way.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, you got to have some sort of love story, love interest there. So I like that. And thanks to our producers, Uche, I think, still the most recent producer. And we'll be back with another episode review as usual on Wednesday. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack. The quack attack is